Let's turn in our Bibles in 2 Timothy, first chapter. My outline is encapsulated in one verse, so you'll know when we get done because I'll be through that verse. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'll start reading in verse 6, and the text of the message tonight will be verse 7, but I'll read verse 6 to start us out. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and the Apostle Paul, of course, writing to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Then verse 8 says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. And first thing I want to say, it's already been mentioned in the testimonies tonight, and Sue said it as well. Remember, Paul's trying to remind Timothy of a turning point in his life. He was talking about the laying on of hands or ordination. He says, stir up the gift of God, which is in thee. And we talked about it already tonight, but think about when you decided to make Jesus your Savior. Everybody has a different story. When I was a kid, I was always in church, and I always worried about it, and I didn't get it all straight in my head till I was 11 years old, and I was at home in my basement, and my mom, I knew it. I had the knowledge of it, but I hadn't trusted yet. My mom led me to Christ in my basement near the washing machine, and everybody has a different story, but it's good every now and then to think about the time when you realize that you're a sinner. You knew that you couldn't fix your situation. You knew that Jesus died to pay for that sin, that the gift of God is eternal life, and that moment in your life when you made that choice. Paul was reminding Timothy of a time when he was being selected and set aside for service. He had acknowledged the gift that God had given him, and Paul reminded him of that moment. But there should be several moments in your life as a Christian where you think back and you really saw God work in a miraculous way. I mean, many of those things in my life have been here in this place where I didn't know how it was going to turn out, but I saw God step in and work a miracle, and that stir up the gift that God has given you, stir up those moments in your life. He was reminding him of a certain time and a certain place in his life when Timothy made a choice to use the gifts that were from God, but to use his gifts for God, to serve him. Paul said, remember it, think about it again, bring it up again, think about it, dwell on it for a little bit. Don't ever be ashamed of it, the verses that we read. Don't be ashamed. Stay involved. Stay with it. He said, remember whom you're serving. He said, it's not about Paul. It's not about the other people around you. Don't be ashamed of it. Remember the one that you're serving, and remember the cause of the suffering that you're going through. If you suffer for the wrong reasons, or you don't know why you suffer, you get bitter. But if you know the reason for the suffering is that the gospel can get out so that you can use the gifts that God has given you, then you won't get bitter, you won't get burned out, you'll say it's worth it because the end is worth the suffering. It's the same power that salvation is the same power to anyone who accepts it. Paul said, I'm the preacher and the teacher of the Gentiles now. It's my job to get it to everybody. Jesus abolished death, brought us life, and Timothy, you've got the gift. Stir it up. It's in you. The Spirit is in you. Stir it up. I was thinking about that song I wrote in my notes. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And Paul said, that's who we're standing on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So before Paul told Timothy, what kind of spirit he had, he said, stir up those moments. Think about that moment in your life, Timothy, where you decided you were going to serve God and you wanted hands laid on you, you wanted to be set apart. useful in God's service. And I challenge you tonight, as many have already shared, think about those times, more than one moment in your life where God stepped in and worked a miracle, the miracle of salvation. If none other moment, think of when you got saved and said, wow, I'm still a sinner, but God chose to forgive me. God chose to send Jesus to be my Savior. And stir it up again. Hope it should be in there somewhere. Find it and stir it up again. And then he gets to verse 7 here. We're going to use it as my outline. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. That word fear talks about dread. Many of us experience fear in different ways. I tell people that I'm not afraid of heights until I get up there, and then I'm petrified. I can tell you right now I'm not afraid of heights at all, but once I get up there, I get paralyzed. Some people, when they become overwhelmed with dread, they start to sweat. They start to get blind and dizzy. Some people experience it different ways. I think I'm becoming a person that gets very sleepy when there's something that I really dread. I almost get narcoleptic, where you're really tired. You just don't want to face it. And we all experience dread or fear in different ways. But Paul was talking to Timothy. He said, whichever way, however it comes to you, if it's paralyzing or if it causes you to sweat or get dizzy or fall asleep, whatever it might be, that spirit didn't come from God. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. It's dread, frightened, groveling spirit, faithless. The story in the New Testament when the disciples were on the boat and Jesus was on the boat and the storm came up and the wind blew. And the disciples became very afraid, and that they had that fear within them. And they went and woke Jesus up and said, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And if you have fear, you don't have room for faith. And God has not given us that spirit. And sometimes the choices that we have to make in life, the things that we have to face, the things that we dread, things that we don't necessarily want to do, but there are required, that we have to walk through a valley, we have to go through a trial. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, the spirit of fear that tells us to doubt, like the disciples did, instead of trust. It tells us to hide instead of finding the opportunity in the challenge that God has allowed in your life. Instead of finding the opportunity, it tells us to hide. And the spirit of fear, like that he did with King Saul, spirit of fear that tells us to substitute instead of obey. Most of you know the story when King Saul, when God used Samuel to tell King Saul to utterly destroy the Amalekites. And for whatever reason, Saul said, I'm not going to destroy everything. I'll take the king and I'll save some of the best animals for sacrifice. And Samuel showed up to the place where Saul was supposed to destroy everything. And he said, I hear bleeding of sheep. I hear animals. What does this mean? And Saul said, well, I thought it'd be good to have sacrifices for God. And Samuel said, don't you understand? Dost thou not know? Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Sometimes fear makes you try to substitute when you know you can't face something and you know you have a trial coming. Sometimes fear looks for a detour. Sometimes fear looks for a way around the valley instead of through the valley. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. God has given us the spirit of power. This is number 2 in the outline. And we might have heard these words before. Dunamis power, that dynamite power that comes from God, that is God's power, force, an ability, an abundance, a might, strength. God has given us not the spirit of fear, but of power. Power like David had when he stood against Goliath. It doesn't make any sense for a little kid with a slingshot to knock over the giant, but power that was available and the skill that he had trained, and that God allowed him to have the victory. Power to bear up under the trials, like Job, who said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The power to bear up under trials. Power like Daniel, who trusted God. And even when the king and the government said, you can't do that anymore, you can't pray anymore, Daniel said, I'm going to do like I always have done. And the power that even in face of opposition, God protected Daniel and power to triumph in persecutions, like Joseph when he was betrayed by his brothers in the Old Testament. His brother said, "We don't like you. You're dad's favorite. We're going to get rid of you." And after he went through betrayal by his brothers and betrayed by his boss and in prison and left to die, after all of that, he came back to his brothers and said, "You meant it for evil against me, but God meant it unto good." That power that is available to us. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Number three, not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And you might have heard this word before, that word love, agape love. It's an affection, a warmth, an action, benevolence. Love that restores instead of discards. If you come to the Valentine banquet, Sue was telling me about a special project she's working on with her decorations, and I want to see it because I know she already told me what it's made out of, but she's taken something and she's restoring it. This might be something that you would not make a decoration out of, but I like people that can take something that somebody else might say, "I'm done with this, I'm going to throw it away," and they take it and make it into something useful. That's what God does with us. That's why when God so loved the world, he didn't throw us away. He came not to condemn us, to toss us in the trash can, but he came to save us. He came to make us better than we could ever be without him. God doesn't throw people away. God says, "Hey, I can make use out of that. I can restore that. I can redeem that." God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. A love is an action, that warmth that comes from action, agape affection, like God loves us. Agape means benevolence or giving of your strength, giving of your resources, like God does for us. In Psalm 55, it says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Peter said, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." That agape strengthening, the giving love that God models for us, that God gives to us. Decide to be like God, be a burden lifter instead of a burden maker. It's not our strength, it's God's strength, but on his behalf. There are many people in our own church that are going through a sickness, going through a trial, and I've catched myself many times. There are situations that I know about. I don't even have to ask the question, "Is there anything I could do, anything I could pray for?" I already know the answer. But sometimes we don't ask that question. We don't go to people and say, "Is there a way that I can express God's love to you? Is there a way that I can help? Is there something I can pray for? Is there something tangible that I can do? Is there my time, my resources that I can give?" Because that's what God does for us. It's a benevolence. It's a strength giving. It's a sustaining love that holds up and doesn't hinder. A love that overwhelms. I like, we always talk about the love in the Bible. One of the definitions for agape love, after benevolence and affection and warmth and a love of action, is a love feast. And I was thinking about a feast. If you've ever been to a feast, it's almost Valentine's Day. So I was thinking, if you want to show your wife how much you love her, take her to the buffet and say, "I love you this much." But if you've ever been to a feast before, you might leave a lot of different ways. But hopefully, if you've ever been to a good feast, you don't leave hungry. Okay, so if you go to Golden Corral or the China Buffet or Ponderosa, wherever you go, if nothing else, when you leave, you should not get in your car and say, "Man, I'm pretty hungry." You shouldn't leave the feast hungry. And that love should be overwhelming in that way. You should say it drives out every other thing, that love. There is no fear in love. In 1 John, it says, "No fear in love, but perfect or complete love casteth out fear." If that love is present, the fear is not. It drives out, just like light drives out darkness. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Perfect love casteth out fear. If you go to a feast, you shouldn't be able to say, "I'm hungry when I get done." Perfect and complete love should be almost overwhelming. It is overwhelming when it comes to God our Father. But as we express that love, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And as we express that love, it should almost be overwhelming, where there's not room for anything else. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And then lastly, and of a sound mind. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, this is where I preach to myself because this is one I struggle with the most. A sound mind. He's given us that spirit, the spirit of a sound mind, disciplined, self-controlled, taught to be sober. And again, Paul is teaching a younger man, and he's saying, if you experience that blinding dread, that fear, that didn't come from God. What God gave you was the ability to overcome that fear. And part of that ability is the sound mind. A sound mind that maintains preparation for any test. In 1 Peter, it talks about be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope. And that's a familiar verse. They say, you know, if somebody comes, you got somebody that believes in a different God or somebody that's an atheist and they have a question, they want to challenge what you believe, you should always be ready to give an answer. And that's true. We should always be able to give an answer and say, I believe the Bible by faith. This is why I believe it. It's God's word. Here's my answer. But it says, be ready to give an answer to every man. And I don't know about you, but in my sound mind, sometimes I talk to myself and sometimes I ask myself questions. And I need to be ready to give myself answers from the word of God. When I experience doubt, I need to be able to say, no, well, God's word says, if I experience fear, if I experience the temptation to sin, I should be able to answer any man, including this man, and say, no, God's word says this. When doubts arise, I should be able to say, I'm ready to give an answer to both the external, other people that might challenge what I believe, but also to the internal doubts and fears that I have from time to time. I should be able to give an answer to myself. That's part of having a sound mind to go back and say, this is what I believe and this is why I believe it based on God's word. A sound mind that maintains the ability to answer. A sound mind that maintains balance. Things that are put in order. Things don't stay ordered. If you don't believe me, go work in the nursery or come watch my kids sometime. You know, things don't stay in the order. So part of a sound mind is refreshing, is to go back and say, this is the way I know it's supposed to be, and this is not the way it is right now. To reset it, to put it back into order, to maintain it. You know, most of us live with a breakdown thing. Well, after it breaks, after I go crazy, and I'll go back and I'll fix everything. Instead, just to maintain it and say, no, I'm getting a little bit out of alignment. I'm getting a little bit off track. That's not the mind that God wants me to have. Maintain the balance. Put it back in order. And then a sound mind that maintains their influences. Paul said to Timothy, as long as I'm following Christ, follow me. As long as I'm speaking sound words, listen to what I'm saying. As long as we're headed in the same direction, follow me. And Paul had to warn Timothy because Timothy was going to meet other people that from time to time would stray from the faith. And Paul was not always going to be there to bring him back in the line. He said, so he started with himself. He said, if you're following me, make sure that I'm following Christ. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, it says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So right there in just a few short verses, Paul reminds Timothy, we both believe God is our Father, we both believe in the power of Christ Jesus, and we both have the same Holy Ghost within us. So if two of the pillars of the faith have to, from time to time, remind each other that we're on the same page, we still believe that God is our Father, Jesus is his Son, the Holy Spirit that dwells us as Christians, he said, follow me, as long as I'm on this path, follow my words. Follow who I follow. Don't get distracted. Don't get pulled off course. The gospel is too important. God's will for today is too important. And many of us do this. We say, well, it's not having a good day today. I'll come back tomorrow. But like as Sue talked about, there might be someone that you need to have an influence on today. So God's will for today is important, just like the gospel is important every day, and just like God's will for your life is important. It's too important to get sidetracked. It's too important to live in the spirit of fear. It's too important not to express his love. It's too important not to have a sound mind. And yeah, it takes a lot of maintenance. It takes a lot of work to maintain it. But Paul said it's important that you do it. It's important because God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I know many times it's easy to get distracted, and that's all I want to do to you to remind you tonight is don't get distracted. Remember that if the fear comes, if the dread comes, if the overwhelming sweat or whatever it is comes and you don't know how to respond, realize first that didn't come from God. God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He's not the author of confusion, but he did give you the resources to conquer the fear. God did give you what you need in his power, in his love, in the sound mind that he commands us to have. So, again, I'm the substitute. This won't be on the test, but I appreciate you being here tonight and listening to me. And it's good to be in God's house. The testimonies, the songs, all the time that we've had together, it's been good to be here tonight. And I want to again invite you to be here Saturday for the banquet. So thank you for being here. Let's all stand together. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll dismiss. If you want to meet in the two rooms to pray with the men or the ladies, don't give up the time that you have together as fellow Christians. Like Pastor talked about on Sunday, we're here to kind of challenge each other and keep each other on track, just like we talked about tonight. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for each one that's here. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that even when we do encounter the fear, that the dread that overwhelms us, that we know that we should be overwhelmed by your love. We should be overwhelmed by your power. We should order our thoughts and put things back in order within our own mind and our influences, the things that we let influence us. I pray, Lord, we do that tonight. Thank you for our pastor. I pray you refresh him and that you'd have him back safe with us Saturday. Thank you for each one that's here. Bless your word as we take it home and we think about it. Bless us as we go tonight. Keep us safe. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.